Chapter 19. It was strange. The music the setter summoned bent my knees, my ears, even the trees right before my eyes. The little beady-eyed hornheads were full of surprises. Deceivers, stealers, enslavers, and dragon poachers. They loved dragon charms, bones, teeth, and scales more than gold itself. I fought for my focus, locking my eyes on their twisting and distorted faces. I yelled. At least I think I did. I could see my bow, Akron, in my hand that I could not feel. An arrow was stuck between my numb fingers. I fought against the music. The horror, the carnival erupting in my mind.
Come on, dragon. Do it. Do it or you're done for.
Muscle straining, I forced my dragon hands to respond. Shaking, I knocked the arrow. I rolled on my back. I think I did, anyway. I couldn't feel anything. It was like I was watching someone else's hands, drawing back the string. An out-of-body experience of sorts. I took aim at the nearest obscured image before me and let the arrow fly. The snapping spring cracked in my ear. Not tight, but slow. The arrow sped away from me at an agonizing pace. Even an Etton could have dodged that slow arrow. I felt my breath thinning. Drops of sweat fell in front of my eyes. All I wanted to do was escape the madness. Sleep. Find my legs and run. But at the moment I could do nothing. Just suffer the insufferable sound of the pipe-playing setters. The music shifted. Stopped. My head pounded like a drum. But my vision began to clear. The male setter clutched at his belly, its pipes no longer pressed to its lips, but on the ground. The woman dashed over on her hooves, distraught and full of worry. She leaned her mate back in her arms. Tears swelled in her eyes. The male gasped for breath, clutched its side, looked right at me, then at my dragon arms. Its eyes widened, and it whispered to the female setter. I gathered my feet under me and stumbled over. I didn't want to see him die. Brenoir beat me there. He walloped the female in the back of the head with a laden bag called a dwarfen sap. She pitched forward, knocked out cold in her mate's lap.
Brenoir, I said. Do you have to be so gruff?
She's no she. It's a setter. A monster about to kill us both.
He stomped her set of pipes under his foot, crushed them on the ground. The male setter let out a whine, like a goat. Brenoir slugged it in the jaw. It fell over. He snatched its pipes off the ground and crushed them in his hands.
What about his wounds?
I said.
It will live.
We grabbed the net and bound them up. Satyrs, little taller than dwarves, not as wide, weren't very formidable without their pipes. Still, I was a little surprised Brenoir hadn't killed them.
So you think they won't come after us again?
I said.
There could be more, you know. Maybe an entire herd of them lurks in this crater.
Then I suggest we get out of here before they get out of this,
he said, storming off. I guessed it was my turn to follow. I gave the satyrs one last look. They never looked as bad as they seemed. They looked almost peaceful, their faces calm and expressionless. I just hoped I'd never hear those pipes playing again. After Brenoir, I went. We found a camp.
Look at this,
Brenoir said. He was kneeling down beside some dead goblins.
Look how clean that cut is. That's elven steel. Shum must be close by.
I inspected the gnolls. Three of them were dead. Big ones, too. All bigger than Shum. I could tell by the dirt that it had been a hard-fought battle. A nasty one, judging by the blood.
Looks like he went this way,
I said.
But I don't think he was followed.
Brenmar said.
Look at this.
He held out what looked like a crossbow, but the wood was twisted. I picked up a bent bolt.
Now this is something pretty impressive.
I waggled it in Brenmar's face.
Wouldn't you say?
Pretty sad if you ask me. Potbelly must not be much of a fighter if he can't get the upper hand on the likes of these. Using magic. Pah!
Of course,
I said, rolling my eyes behind his back.
What was I thinking? Let's go.
I took the lead this time. My keen eye picked up drops of blood on the ground, the needles and the stones. There were footprints now. Many. I could smell the women. Some of them still touched by the natural fragrances of the flower and vegetable gardens of the village.
Brenmar?
I stopped, hunched down. Something was coming. Brenmar leaned over my shoulder. Farther down the crater, a large group of people was coming. We waited. Closer and closer they came, the silhouettes becoming familiar. One, taller than the rest, was limping, wheezing a little.
Shum!
I said, dashing up to him. Two women were holding him up, his long arms draped over their shoulders.
He saved us,
one woman said.
Saved us all. Killed all those nasty dogs and goblins.
Indeed, he had saved them all. Every last one, by the looks of it. The women all chattered among themselves, excited, free.
Shum,
I said, bracing him over my shoulder.
Are you all right? Can you make it?
Just,
he said, wheezing.
Just get me out of here, dragon. Take me to my horse. Pah!
Brenmar said, rolling his eyes at me.
I bet he wants us to carry him, too.
The brisk wind picked up, chilling Bezog's bones. The warmth from the legionnaire fire looked good right now, but he remained back, peering towards the crater.
Come, Bezog,
Sasha said, taking his arm.
You need some food. The soldiers have plenty and their tales are very exciting.
He turned his eyes toward the Ettins that now sat on the edge of the camp. They kept looking into the sky. What they were looking for, he couldn't imagine.
I appreciate it,
he said.
I really do. Perhaps you can bring me something.
As you wish, Bezog.
She pecked him on the cheek.
I'll be right back.
Being around men left Bezog a little uncomfortable. He was more elf than man, and never felt his human part was well received. And he didn't have the color of humans either, at least not in terms of personality. He was resolved. They were vibrant. Most of them, anyway. Staring into the sky, he noticed the dark clouds seemed to lower, like a fog that fell rather than lifted.
That's odd.
It wasn't uncommon for the night air to become misty, but not so early in the night. Over by the campfires, a haze was dropping over the men's heads, but they kept talking, eating, and many of them were smoking pipes. His nose crinkled. He looked at the Ettins. They were 15 feet high, sitting, but he could see their heads no more.
Bezog?
A man said, approaching from the camp.
Have you seen such a fog before?
It was Ben, trying to fan the haze from his face.
No, have you?
Great Guzan,
a soldier said.
I can't even see my roll-up. Stop smoking, will you?
That's not my smoke,
another soldier exclaimed.
It's this infernal fog. It's thicker than a mud hole. Get out of my way.
A chill went right through Bezog. Suddenly, he couldn't see a hand in front of his face.
Sasha! Sasha! Where are you?
It didn't do him any good. Everyone was yelling, shouting, ordering.
Ben? Ben?
He said.
Can you hear me?
I'm right here,
Ben said.
I think I am, anyway.
What do you want me to do?
Be still. Don't move.
Bezog muttered, incanted. The magic within him came to life. Raising his arms over his head, he summoned the wind. At first, nothing happened. He focused, concentrated. Then it came, up the hill. Flattening the grasses, it pushed through the camp to the astonishment of many voices. It was a strong wind. Not a storm, not a gale. Strong and steady, like right before a storm. It whisked the fog away, scattered it into the sky, carried it far away and beyond. When he opened his eyes, Ben was standing there, fixing his hair, gaping at him. Sasha rushed up towards him and wrapped her arms around him. He was relieved.
Great Guzan!
Another soldier shouted.
What now?
Someone said.
The Etons are gone.